Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women, real talk with wise, dynamic women leaders. I'm your host, Julie Noonan, CEO and founder of Intuitive Wisdom Coaching, and I'm living my dream life. I live and work in my RV, coaching senior women leaders as they navigate corporate politics, family drama, and personal goals to live their own dream lives. These women are restless. They are never done seeking new opportunities, learning, and creating value in the world. If you'd like to apply to be on the show, stick around to the end and I'll let you know how. Let's go.
Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. I have with me today Dr. Norma Hollis. She is a doctor of life, and I like that. She spent over 30 years immersed in the study of human nature, guided by a deep desire to understand what makes people truly authentic. That word gets passed around and used inauthentically quite a lot, so I can't wait to talk with her about that. Her journey began in childhood as a quiet observer, eventually evolving into one of the first Black female speakers in the professional development space. Over time, she has become known as the godmother of authenticity, developing the authenticity grid, a framework that helps women live with more alignment, purpose, and inner peace. This work didn't come easily. She's reinvented herself numerous times, having gone through 14 surgeries and enduring the murder of her husband. As a coach, she speaks directly to women who are roaming, seeking, healing, and ready to embrace their next season, not with fear, but with freedom. Welcome, Dr. Hollis. I appreciate your being here with us.
Well, I appreciate how you took my bio and just did some wonderful things with it. I need a cup.
You're not supposed to tell all my secrets. I'm just very, very, just thoroughly pleased to have you here. And I really appreciate the work that you've done so far. With the authenticity grid and taking that concept and actually making it into something real for people. So what I wanted to start with today is, when did that start with you? When did you get this idea?
Well, I have four basic starting points. The first was actually my consciousness on the planet, because I've always known I was here to do something. And even at 2 years old, I knew that. And I got very frustrated because I couldn't get my parents to understand. So that was number one. Number two was when I was 8 years old. When I was eight, I developed a hole in my eardrum that resulted in 55 years of ear infection, sometimes more than one infection a year, and 40 years of taking antibiotics. Those first 2 years were the most challenging because not only did I have the infection, but then it was followed by the medication, which felt like acid on the inside of my head. And then that was followed by 2 years of excruciating earaches that could not be stopped by anything. And the only thing that did stop the earaches was my Baptist minister grandfather praying over my ear when I was out of town visiting him one summer when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And he said that God must have something important for me to do to give me so much pain at a young age, which resonated with kind of what I had at 2 years old, kind of knew I was there. And he's the first person that actually resonated with that belief. And so that was number two. Number three, then when I was 28 years old, and I realized I had done everything my parents had said do. I had the husband, we had great cars, great jobs, house, all those wonderful things. And I was miserable.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do with myself, since they said this is supposed to make me happy. And I was only 28 and I was not happy. And so that's when I decided to discover, who am I and what does it mean to be human on planet Earth? And that led me to 30 years of research to discover what it meant to be me. And that led me to the fourth or the fifth, whatever, wherever we're at, which is turning my understanding of myself, which I identified with nine different animals whose energies were like my energies. And then I turned that into my authenticity grid, which is the program that I teach now. So it was an evolution and a growth as you look back. And I think all of us have that. We don't always see it that way, but I was led to discover my purpose because I knew I had one. And just following the breadcrumbs, if you will, led to discovering the purpose, which is about authenticity. So.
Wow. And so were all the surgeries about your ear?
No, three of them were about my
Oh,
ear. The third
okay.
one was just actually 3 years ago. And that's the one that finally took. And that's been several decades for that. But I have had multiple surgeries in different parts of my body. There have been 14, three ear, three kidney, and two thumb. So they've been little duplicates, but none of them really serious, but most of them kind of anatomical or something. But and they've all and every one was connected with the deeply spiritual experience, every single one of them. So,
Give me an example.
well, my most profound example, which will take a couple of minutes to explain.
Okay.
It was I woke up one morning and I was led to feel my stomach. And on my stomach, I felt a lump. And I felt it for the next couple of weeks. So I tried a lot of laxatives and other stuff, you know, nothing worked.
Now,
I went to
how old
the
were you
doctor.
then here? Were you an
Excuse me?
adult? You were an adult?
This was
Okay.
maybe 10, 15 years ago. I was very much
Okay.
an adult, yes. I could not remove it. And then I went to the doctor and they decided to do surgery. They told me I had an ovarian cyst. Now, after the surgery, the doctor told me that he wasn't sure what it was because it wasn't where an ovarian cyst would normally be. He did remove something, but it had migrated to the pre-puberty position and had lodged on the back of my abdominal wall and grew large enough to be felt. So, this was a time in this is a time in my life when I was into labyrinths. You know what a labyrinth is?
Yes.
A labyrinth, for those that don't know, a labyrinth is a walking meditation tool. People often call it a maze. A maze
Yeah.
is a lot of paths, but they're confusing. You don't know if you're going to walk into a wall or not. Well, a labyrinth is one long path that is spiral and twisting and turning. It's a very logical path. And if you look up labyrinth, labyrinth, you will see them and you probably have seen them before. But I walk labyrinths. I'm a labyrinth facilitator. I have my own labyrinths. And at this point in time, I was reading a book by Dr. Hilda, no, I think I don't remember her name, from Herodotus. But anyway, she's the one that brought the labyrinths back to the United States back in the late 90s, which is when I did my training. So I'm into this and I like to hook rugs. And I had designed my own labyrinth and I was making it into a rug because I'm not an artist, but I can make rugs. So back to my cyst. When the doctor told me that when he removed this thing from my body, that a green liquid came out of it. Oozed out of it. And then when I saw the pathologist report later, it said there were yellow striations around the labyrinth. Okay. Now, I mean, I'm not around my cyst. So go back to the labyrinth that I'm designing. A labyrinth is considered the womb of God. Okay. So the womb is the center part of the labyrinth. And the one that I was making, the center was green, like the green coming out of my cyst. And my paths in my labyrinth were not the general white, they were yellow, like the striations around the cyst. That's an example. Kind of unusual.
Wow.
But that's my life, okay? It comes in deep phases like that, like, okay, let me sit down. Like right now, I'm sitting down because in the last 35, 45 days, I had a car accident. My bank account was taken, I took all my money out. My credit card was taken. My SIM card and my phone was used. I can go on. All these in another 30-day period. And I'm just laughing through it all. So I
Oh,
learned
my
that this is
goodness.
a message to just slow down and pay attention. I got something for you. And if you keep going so fast, you'll miss it as you've done before. Like when I broke your leg because you were moving too fast.
Oh my
So
goodness.
I'm not buying. I had three cars in 3 years. That's another sign. So I don't have a car right now. I don't want a car right now. My feet are doing just fine. I live close to my doctor and my market and everything, and I got friends. So, these are signs that come to all of us in what mine may be a little more profound than others and being moved in a short period of pace of time. But all of us have these types of unusual things, and we just cry or whine or worry or whatever we do. But we don't always look at it as this is, what's the message here? What am I missing? What am I doing that I might not be doing right that these things are happening? What do I need to shift and change? Maybe I shouldn't roam so much or be so restless and just sit down for a minute and think and evaluate and examine, and I might just find what I'm looking for. So that's kind of where I'm at now as well.
Oh, wow. Well, I wish you luck with fixing all of those.
Well,
To me, that sounded to me like pure annoyance. The worst thing that I hate is dealing with insurance.
it is annoying, but what I find myself doing is in the morning, I do what I'm doing now. I make my calls, I do my interviews, whatever. Around 2 o'clock, I stop because there's always 3 to 4 to 5 calls I have to make about what's happened. They always take 3 to 4 to 5, 10 or 10 times longer than I expect because I got to go on
Oh,
hold.
yes.
Whatever. Then they got to check they got on hold again, and I'm just ready for it. And then by then I'm done. So then I'm going to
Oh,
eat,
yeah.
enjoy the rest of the day. And I can't change that. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm learning now that at this age and with all the debate I've had over my life, God really is in charge.
Yeah. Well, we certainly aren't. That's exactly right.
If I just flow with God's charge, it would be so much easier. So,
Yeah.
that's my big message to all of you. God talks to all of us in whatever way, but we, no, I'm gonna do it this way, or no, this is my plan. No. But who's really in charge? Stop and ask yourself and move forward accordingly.
For sure, and keep that positive.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to do, particularly in really rough times, is to not fall into despair or depression and kind of cower in that for many days or many weeks or many months sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
So tell me what you did mention here that your husband had been murdered.
Murdered and decapitated.
Oh my goodness. So if do you mind sharing that story as much as you feel comfortable and then what you learned out of that process? Because I'm sure not a whole lot of people have to go through that. At least I hope not.
No, it's not a happy place to be. Actually, we had just gotten divorced maybe a year, I think a year earlier, but we were best friends still. We got divorced mainly because the man, much as I loved him and he's a great artist, he could not manage a dime. So it was very challenging, to try to take care of two adults who were making money and one is not, whatever. So I couldn't handle that. So we were still spiritually married without a question because we go back way, way, way back. But it was just financially on this planet, better to do it that way. So we were in walking distance of where we lived from each other, and I had just gotten back from a speaking engagement. I had called him. I was leaving Dallas the night before, and he didn't answer, which was unusual because he was 80% blind, and he's always
Oh,
blind.
goodness.
Yeah. So the next morning, I got up and washed my hair, called him. He didn't answer, which was also unusual. And then his neighbor called me and said he hasn't been able to rouse. They called him Bo. Robert was his name. He went by Bojangles and they called him Bo. And he said, I haven't been able to arouse Bo since 2 o'clock yesterday. He wanted me to take him to Smart and Final. And I can't, he has not answered the door. And so that's when I got really concerned. And I went over there and knocked on the door. Of course, he didn't answer. And I knew where the key was. He kept the key in the car well. And I went downstairs and I checked three wheels and I didn't see it. And Spirit said, you're not checking the fourth wheel, just go upstairs. I had called his son before I left and his son met me there. And when I got there, I called the police and they sent the well-being group. And they got there and I said, I can't get out, I don't have the key. And so the son, Ken, went down and he got the key. And he walked in and he ran back out and he wouldn't let me go in. And he said, the only reason I know it was my father is because I saw his rings on his hand, but I couldn't see his head. And I'm thinking his head was just pushed back because maybe he had a stroke or something. But we didn't know till we got to the police office that that he was actually decapitated, and then they never did find the head. And that will be 10 years next, in about 2 weeks, it'll be 10 years. And 2 months ago, they finally arrested the guy who did the murder. Yeah, they had been
2 months
tracking
ago.
2 months ago, after 10 years. So they've been tracking him for a number of years. They knew who it we knew who it was the day it happened,
Oh,
because
wow.
there was an unstable person. And Robert had told me Sunday before I left town to the speaking engagement that the guy was scaring him. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I can't put my finger on it, but he's scaring me." I said, "Well, tell me Thursday when I get back." And of course, by Thursday, he was already gone. So.
This episode is sponsored by me. So, as a special gift to you, our listeners, I offer a free 1-on-1 15-minute breakthrough session. Bring a problem and experience how coaching works to see if it could be of value to you. Sign up for an available time on my website, intuitivewisdomcoach.com.
Oh my goodness. Well, my condolences for
Thank you. Yeah,
sure.
it was quite an experience. And when the police called me, you do what you can when you can, and
Oh,
then you
yeah.
gotta let it go, because you can't just chase and try to find and stay in that wallow in that grief. Because that grief is, it's captivating. It kind of pulls you in. Come on,
Yeah.
more. When I this happened in June, and I put it all on a spiritual perspective because we had a spiritual relationship. We met in church. We were in the church choir together. We did a lot of things. We were very God-like together, and it was good until Christmas came. Now, my birthday is Christmas time, Christmas, and that's when the grief really hit me. And that's when I told myself, Norma, you can grieve all you want until March 31st. You have 3 months to grieve. But come April 1st, you want a business, you have to get back in shape. And that's what I did. I allowed myself that grieving time. And as a child, I kind of trained myself, to control myself in a sense, to manage myself, whatever you want to call it, manage my energies, whatever. Because I teach them how to do that. So I was able to, by March, okay, this is the last day. Cry all you want today, but tomorrow you got to jump back. And so, I've made that transition and jump back in, which I think we all have to. We have to make a decision. And this is the work I do with authenticity. When I talked about spending 30 years understanding myself and how to help others understand themselves, because you can't always wallow in what happened. Stuff's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Your mom is gonna die. Your daddy's gonna die. A kid may die. A friend may die. Whatever. And accidents, stuff happens, and you
Yes.
can't stop it. But you have to learn to deal with it, because you can't wallow in it and let it destroy you. But you also can't ignore it and pretend like I'm just fine. That didn't bother me. Next thing you know,
Right.
slap. What happened? Because you didn't deal with it. You didn't go through. You didn't allow life to do its process. Life has its
Yes.
processes and whatever. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So tell me how, speaking of your work with authenticity, tell me about how all of these experiences led into the grid, the development of the grid, and what you teach now.
Well, the grid was actually started at 28, because when I realized that I became someone that I did not know and I had to see who am I, that's when I found these nine energies in me. One was like the energy of an owl, because there were times when I was really deeply in thought. One was a snail, because some things I moved really slow with, like 30 years of research. That's a long time of research. One is a panther, because I was directing Head Start programs and working with preschool children, and don't mess with those kids. And one was, so I had a reason for all of them. And then what I did is I used my astrology knowledge and interest, numerology, and my aunt had just passed that time, and she had books on Freud and Jung and others. I used those. Super ego, ego, and id is a part of my grid. So I was doing a lot of research. I was just reading everything I could find that was about human nature. And I did that for 30 years. My grid, I'll give you a quick shot at my grid. This is my
Okay.
city grid. You can't see it all the way down.
Oh, no,
Oops.
I can.
Right down. But this is it. You can find it on my website, which I'll give you information a little bit. But then what I did is I had this, I had to take time on each of these boxes. So what
Yeah.
does intuition really mean? What does integrity really mean? What is into inspiration? And how do these work together for your inner voice, the one that no one hears but you? And what I find is that we all get a thought through our intuition. We filter it through our value system. Is it in our
Yeah.
value system? And if it is or not, we may be inspired to act on it or not. So that's one voice we have. We have an outer voice that no one hears but us, and we have an expressive voice, which is who we become in the world and how we live our lives day to day. So I spent
Yeah.
30 years, and these things on the top are things that we're born with. We're born with a sixth sense. Do you use it? You're born with DNA for your wellness, how you take care of it. You're born with gifts and talents. How do you use them? The second line, horizontal, are things that determine, tell you who you are through your values, the people you're around, and your personality. And the third row is you get things done. You got to be inspired. You got to move towards wealth if you want to receive it. You got to do something, or your lifestyle, you got to do something. So it helps you to see yourself in a different way from the energy that's in you and around you. And so from that, I've developed more grids. I've developed more programs. I have an online school. We're getting ready to relaunch it come January 2026. And expand it and grow it. So I'm taking all the years of research, and it's been like 50 years of research on human nature that I'm taking into classes. And I'm also inviting the people that I've certified, and I've certified many people from all over the world to write classes as well. And so that's my big project now that all the things I've done in the past is leading to that I'm excited about.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. That
Thank
sounds
you. Thank you.
phenomenal.
Thank
So,
you.
how long have you been doing this particular work
I've
at,
been doing
teaching and certifying people? I mean,
Probably about the last 10 years. When I finished, it took me 20 years to write my program because for each of these dimensions on this grid, I have a book that explains,
okay.
and that's what's this in the school. So I have a book about intuition, about how to build your intuition and step-by-step process, a book on integrity about your value system, how you know your values and how you recognize them, and how you grow from your parents' values to your own values. Who are you? One of the I think this mental health problem that we have. It's a crisis of self-awareness. We don't know who we are. And we
That's
try to
true.
meet anybody in the artificial authenticity world with the artificial intelligence, there wouldn't be so much authenticity if it wasn't so much inauthenticity, which is really an
Yes.
important issue. So that's the gap that I seek to fill. And I've got people all over the world that I've certified. And now we're actually scaling to do more of the same in a wider range of people. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds phenomenal. And I do believe you're right. I think we're more self-aware than we think we are, but we hide from a lot of it.
Yes,
And
yes, yes.
so work like that you're doing, basically helps people not only find out about themselves, but acknowledge what they already know, which I think is cool too.
Yes. It's an exciting time. It's exciting, yeah.
It is.
It is, yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you before I get to my last three questions, I want to ask you for some words of wisdom that you have for anybody that's listening to this podcast who is coming up behind us or even in front of us, doesn't matter. What are some words of wisdom from your life that you would like to share?
Well, one of the things that I've learned that is, I think is very powerful is that is how important authenticity is and how important it is to connect with your authenticity. And what I've learned is that authenticity begins in your inner voice. I just showed you the inner voice, the intuition, integrity, inspiration. So, talking about intuition, which is where inner voice starts, which is then where authenticity starts, because that's your connection to how you got here and who sent you and your source. And your source is always seeking to get your attention, to give you communication. So the question is, do you trust that source? Do you know how to communicate with it? So my wisdom I want to share with you is how you can increase and improve that communication. And that's by looking at three things that you ask yourself every in the morning, you ask yourself, what time is it? Then you often ask, what am I going to wear? And not far behind that is, well, what am I going to eat? Which you ask often many times. So if you look at how you answer those questions, generally it's from one of your six senses. You smell it, you see it, you feel it, touch it, you think about it, just whatever you it's coming from your senses. So look at how the answer comes to you. Are you a visual learner? Do you see something and then that's how you communicate, how the voice speaks to you? Does the voice give you a smell, a smell rather, an aroma? Does it give you a thought, a vision? Does it give you a feeling? How does your voice speak to you? So think about how you answer when you ask yourself, what time is it? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? And if you look at how the answer comes, you have a clue for how your voice tries to get your attention when it's time.
Oh, I love that. I'm gonna have to really pay attention in the morning when I get up. What am I gonna, what time is it? What am I gonna wear and what am I gonna eat? Oh, wow. Okay. So now you've got me all, now I gotta go
Good,
do
good.
that,
I'm doing my
so
job.
yeah,
Good,
you're
good,
doing your job. You're
good,
doing your job really well right
good.
now.
Good, good. Thank you.
Okay, so close your eyes. And tell me what you see in your mind's eye when I say wise woman.
I see
You
a
can
wise.
open your eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see a wise woman holding her magic wand. That's what I see.
Oh, look at you. Oh, love it.
Making what sharing wisdom with others. You know, that's what wise women do. They share wisdom because they wise women recognize that the one thing holding young people back from success is knowledge. I remember when I was in my parents' house, so I was in my teens or something, and it's so hard to know what's going to happen next. What's going to happen when I'm 21 or 23 or 30? No idea. But now you ask what's going to happen next, I can kind of tell you because I've
Yeah.
lived long enough to tell you. And if
Oh,
I look
yeah.
at you and I have a conversation with you, even if I 5 minutes, I can tell you what's going to happen next with you. So if you really want to know, I'm not going to tell you, but I'll give you enough to prepare you to be prepared for it. Because what you want, you don't want anyone to tell you what to do, but you want to do the best you can to make the best decision for what's next and what's right for you. And it's hard to do when you can't even consider what the options or what might happen next. But that's
It's
why
hard.
wise women around, because they can tell you and they will tell you. They will advise you. They will give you enough that you can make your wisest decision.
Yes, give you enough rope to hang yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
That
Yeah. Okay, second to last question.
right.
Where do you like to roam?
Where do I like to roam? I have a couple places. Locally, I like to roam down new streets. I like to walk. And as I mentioned, I have no car right now. So I'm walking a lot and I'm loving it. I'm not missing a car at all.
That's
I mean, I drove
great.
like 4,000 miles a year anyway. I mean, retired, I work at home, you know, whatever, whatever. But I'm not missing it. And I got friends. I have more reason to call them, you know, and
Yeah.
yeah. So that makes it really cool.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So where, what makes you restless in a good way?
The quest for more knowledge, the quest to understand something. I love doing something, researching something new. I do not like routine, and it shows up in administrative stuff that I should have done 3 months ago and maybe haven't done yet. So that's my challenge, to get administrative stuff done, because I like creative stuff. I like to create. I always want to do something new. Yeah, I'm a starter.
I like to go between the two, depending on my mood and my energy level.
Yes,
Because
yes.
I can lose myself in doing administrative stuff, creating in my head while I'm doing it. You know,
Yes,
it kind of
yes.
makes both parts work together, I guess.
Yeah,
Anyway.
yeah. If
Well,
they
thank
need
you.
to, you know, they need
They
to.
do
We need
need
both.
to.
We need both.
Well, we hope, you know, as we get older, all of our parts don't exactly work together like they used to
I'm
anymore.
just saying,
So,
they're like, come on, come along, come
yeah, come on,
on.
get over
Where'd you go?
here. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hollis. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. I appreciate you, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader, who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.